This is JFM Podcast.
Very good morning once again, but of course, let's talk about issues making the rounds. No doubt that in the political space, a whole lot has been going on, from Peter Obi coming out to call the Nigerian government, saying that it was a wrong decision to have accepted grains for a country like Ukraine, who are actually under war at the moment. Federal government now replying back to Peter Obi, saying it is no problem. That actually has no business to do with whatever he thinks. Well, that is not just that. For those people on the business scene using Binance, it is actually looking like a problem for them at this point, as the cryptocurrency exchange Binance has announced plans to discontinue all services related to the Nigerian Naira. Binance, a cryptocurrency exchange platform, was accused of exploiting the Nigerian currency, that's Nigeria, leading to its free fall in value. The company is, in addition, facing allegations of terrorism financing, money laundering, and tax invasion, among others. Still to talk, Nigeria is one of the largest peer-to-peer crypto markets in the world. Between July 2022 and June 2023, that's a period of over 1 year, crypto transactions in the country reached 56.7 billion naira, according to Chainalysis. And this actually has been one of the major concerns. But the company, in a statement yesterday, advised users to withdraw naira, trade their naira assets to convert naira into crypto. Well, another major concern for Nigerians this time around. According to reports, we've gathered, both executives flew into Nigeria last week following a ban on their website and were arrested by officials of the Office of the National Security Advisor, and their passports were seized. The arrest came amidst efforts by the government to rein in speculation on the naira by cracking down on a cryptocurrency exchange. Well, is this the way to go out of this? This is a very big question. Is this a way to go out of this whole issue, all this matter happening now? In that very launch yesterday, where Olusegun Obasanjo, the former president of Nigeria, took his time to go ahead and launch, unveil his book on leadership. At his 87th birthday, lots of people came out to say so many things, and some people believed, right from the days of Goodluck Jonathan, Nigeria have seen its downfall. But a lot of people will still tell you that no, it came before then, and some will tell you no, it was just in the last administration that all this began to happen. Whichever it is, I think that is not one of the major talks we'll be having today. The major we'll be talking about today is the fact that the Plateau Assembly crisis seems to deepen despite the Court of Appeal giving its own judgment. Yesterday, police in Plateau State condoned off the road leading to the State House of Assembly within the Jos Metropolis. And with that one, this came as supporters of the ruling People's Democratic Party and the arrivals from the All Progressives Congress kept vigil in front of the Assembly complex on Tuesday. A spokesman of the police command, Alabo Alfred, that men and officers of the command were working to prevent a breakdown of law and order in the state. Now, the police were doing their job, but the state assembly in a state of uncertainty over the fate of 16 PDP lawmakers sacked by the Court of Appeal. In sacking the PDP, the 16 PDP lawmakers, the appellate court declared APC candidates as the winner of the March 18, 2023 House of Assembly poll. The Court of Appeal had also sacked Plateau State Governor Caleb Mutfwang on the same basis as it sacked the 16 PDP lawmakers, but the Supreme Court, in its own wisdom, overturned the judgment of the Court of Appeal, however reversed the governor's sacking, you know. And of course, in the light of the Supreme Court's judgment in the governor's case, the 16 PDP lawmakers are asking to be returned to their position. Asked on Tuesday whether the Assembly road barricade was connected to the Assembly crisis, the police spokesperson said he wasn't sure. But all he just wanted to do was to make sure peace was one thing he was assured of on the plateau. At the gates of the Assembly complex, located along John Samchi Road, correspondents observed that supporters of both the sacked 16 PDP lawmakers and the APC lawmakers who are yet to be sworn in kept watching. You know, one of the PDP supporters, that was, I think, Matthew Danladi, had something to say. And in what he said in his words, I will say, we have been here since last night. That should be on Monday night, because we learned that the APC members who are yet to be sworn in our state are lawmakers, following the controversial Court of Appeal judgment, want to forcefully enter the state assembly and impeach the speaker. After that, they will go ahead to impeach the governor, but we will not allow that. They want to take the law into their own hands. If not, why should they not wait for the final outcome of the issues? Because the 16 PDP lawmakers who were unjustly removed by the Court of Appeal are presently in court over the matter. While we still have, I think the APC in Plateau State does not want peace because they are way aware of the Supreme Court judgment over the matter. I think I'm still reading from what Matthew Danladi said. And the Speaker of the People of the State Assembly has also made it clear that he is in receipt of court processes regarding the matter, and will wait for the final decision of the court, since there are 32 persons laying claim to 16 vacant seats in the Assembly. However, on the other side, Barnabas Dalyup of the APC insisted that the action of the Speaker not to swear in the APC members after the Court of Appeal declared them winners was unacceptable. Joining me this morning on this conversation, also talk about this very conversation I have with me, a veteran in the game, a man who has been so busy, you know, trying to gather up information, that of course is so eloquent when it comes to giving his analysis. I'm talking about another person, but Mr. Joseph Adudu. Good morning, Mr. Joseph.
Yeah, good morning, Richard. Good morning, listener.
Right, so it seems I didn't really get you clearly. Maybe you do that once again.
Yeah, so good morning, Richard. Good morning, listener.
All right, good to have you this morning.
Thank you very much.
Now, the issue on ground is no longer new to you. Yeah. The Assembly issue, 16, I think I personally want to call it the Battle of 16s. Mm. The PDP 16 and the APC 16. Now, it looks like this is something that's not coming to an end anytime soon. Mm. Over time, or since the judgment of the Court of Appeal, probably in other states, those who actually won have been sworn in and they've started operating as state lawmakers. But on the plateau, it seems to be different. A lot of people are actually saying that the Speaker of the House has connection, you know, to this very one, after knowing fully well that the Court of Appeal judgment stands. To you, what's your take on this whole matter? Should there have been a sort of connection from the state government or the state governor or the speaker, or it's just a battle between two political parties who are loggerheads following two different judgments, knowing fully well the Court of Appeal is the highest order for both state and National Assembly matters in the courts?
Thank you very much, Richard. This is an issue, just like you said, that has been going on for long. And I think in the end, it is the constituents that are, you know, suffering.
Yes.
You know, for all this. But let me put it this way. You know, every society, every community has its own, you know, peculiarity. And certain events usually crop up as a result of one issue or the other.
True.
Yeah, and in a society where you have people that are saddled with the responsibility,
yes,
of dispensing justice, when they decided to, you know, look the other way around, or decided to, you know, pass judgment in a way that will suit certain interests, then you are bound to have this kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, you know, democracy is all about the people.
True.
And you have those, you know, institutions that are meant to, if they execute their functions well, are meant to strengthen or deepen democracy. Now, what am I really trying to say here? Now, the whole problem is not, I don't just want to look at the 16 APC
lawmakers
and then the PDP lawmakers. But I still want to, you know, I was on this program sometimes.
Yes, on this
and
same
I
matter.
And I say that why we are having this is because some people refuse to sit up, to live up to their own responsibility. With the Supreme Court judgment regarding the governorship election, it became obvious that the Court of Appeal was out, you know, for a hatchet job to satisfy the interests of some people. And it was obvious. So when you have over 30 cases that are similar, and then one is selected, you know, to be given a kind of judgment that, you know, is contrary even to the previous decision of the Supreme Court, then you are bound to have this kind of problem. Do you understand what I'm saying?
True.
So that is where we are now. Now, as it is now, I think we should allow the law to take its course. Whether we like it or not, the Court of Appeal is the highest court in determining cases such as this. And now, since they have taken a decision, whether wrongly or rightly, I think the order of the court must be obeyed. And I know that the House of Assembly, the speaker we have on ground, that office too is a creation of the law. And I know that he's a man that respects the law. He has given his reasons why he has not been able to swear them, because of the processes of the court. And I think we should wait, and then even though the judgment that was passed was faulty, we should not continue, you know, to embark on illegalities upon illegality. So we should allow the law to take its course. It would be wrong for anybody, you know, to go contrary to the law, taking into account the circumstances that we have found ourselves.
Now, there are rumors that, the speaker seems to be the target because, okay, he has taken so much time in swearing them in, and now they want to force their way into, the house and, of course, have their seating. Probably we don't know who would have chaired that seating, you know, from that very angle. But talking about that very seating, someone maybe, you know, from the party would have loved to chair the meeting, and probably they elect a speaker. To you, what's the possibility of that? Without having the speaker, without having the maids, you know, in the house, is that sitting, or would that sitting be legal?
If the rumor we are having is true, I think that the 16 lawmakers, APC lawmakers, wanted to, you know, force themselves into the House of Assembly. If that is true, then I will say that is the height of recklessness, the height of irresponsibility, because just like you asked, under what law were they trying to, you know, take the action they wanted to take, if that is true? Now you begin to ask, there are processes. Of course, we know that the Court of Appeal, you know, declared them winners of that election.
That's true.
But you should also bear in mind that the Court of Appeal did not order for the withdrawal of the certificate of return of the other PDP 16 members.
So what about those at the national level that they didn't order for their withdrawal? But of course, another election was held and they are back to, those ones who won the election, and for those who won at the Court of Appeal are back to their houses now. Is that not the same case with what we're having at the moment?
Well, the National Assembly case might have been easier because probably there was no court process after that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, there is a court process. Maybe those that their seats were taken by the Court of Appeal probably didn't want to challenge that decision. But here you are on the plateau. The PDP members have decided to challenge that. And there is a court process as we speak, both at the Federal High Court and the Court of Appeal. You remember the case that came, you know, on Monday, or is it last week or Monday? You know, regarding the PDP going to Court of Appeal and then wanted to file an application that will set aside, asking the Court of Appeal to set aside its own, you know, judgment. You know, that case is still on. So it will be out of place for anybody to want a speaker who is, his office is also a creation of the law and is a law abiding, you know, citizen, to just go ahead and then begin to swear in these people while this process. In any case, I'd wanted to know, there are procedure. When the certificate of return is given to you as a member of the House of Assembly, you present it to the clerk of the house. It is the clerk of the house that will now call the attention of the speaker. And I hope all these processes were done. Because what I'm saying so is that you hear people, they keep on blaming the speaker. But it is time for us to probe, to know whether all the processes were followed.
Were followed.
And then it is only the speaker that is now, you know, not willing to swear them.
But the major concern now has been, why they've not been sworn in, despite Court of Appeal, you know, saying, go ahead and swear in these people. They are the winners of the last election, the general election that took place. I think that judgment is clear enough. Now, getting back to what happened last week, as at last week, the Court of Appeal in Abuja rejected the lawsuit, you know, a lawsuit filed by the 16 people, two People's Democratic Party, you know, lawmakers who were previously ousted, you know, by the same court in November last year. Now, following their unsuccessful attempt to reclaim their seats at the State House of Assembly, subsequent to the Supreme Court's confirmation of Governor Caleb Mutfwang's election victory, the ousted lawmakers sought a review of the judgment that led to their dismissal, and they were asked to pay 8 million naira each, which led to a total of 128 million naira, you know, for the 16 of them. Now, let's get to talk about this. A case has been dismissed already, which is supposed to be done and dusted. You know, let's say this issue should be over. From November last year, November, December, January, February, now it's March, like up to 5 months now, we have done similar case, you know, on the plateau. Just 8 members are representing, you know, 8 constituencies on the plateau at the moment. The remaining 16 having chaos right now about who represents. Though the people voted the People's Democratic Party, but the Court of Appeal said the APC were the right winners of the elections, considering the fact that the PDP, according to the Court of Appeal, they didn't have what it takes to contest that election as at that time when the judgment was passed. Now, we are having conflicting matters here. The Supreme Court has done its judgment, and the Supreme Court made a statement saying the Court of Appeal erred in their judgments. Right. And should that statement hold waters for the lawmakers who actually know very well that the highest they could go was the Court of Appeal? Following the fact the case has been dismissed, shouldn't this be a bygone matter completely?
Well, you see, what happened, the case that you are saying that was dismissed, I doubt if that case was dismissed.
Okay.
A lot of people are, you know, been having misconception regarding that particular issue. This is what happened.
Okay.
The 16 lawmakers, the PDP, you know, SAC lawmakers, through their council, GS Pool, SNN, approached the Court of Appeal with 2 applications. One was to seek for the leave of the court to file the proper application.
Yes.
Asking the Court of Appeal to set aside its own judgment based on the Supreme Court judgment. Now, on that day, even though the learned SIN said the application was ready because all the parties were served and they all confirmed, but he asked for an adjournment. And why did he ask for an adjournment? The adjournment was predicated on the fact that he has written a letter to the president of the Court of Appeal asking the president to constitute a full panel of 5 people, not 3, because he does not have confidence on the 3 panel. So, but the presiding judge that day refused and insisted he must move the application. He said he will not move. It took them almost 1 hour. But the learned SIN said, look, this is my position. Except you overrule me, I'm not ready to move this application based on the fact that I have written a letter to the Court of Appeal president asking her to constitute a full panel. You know, a full panel in the Court of Appeal is always 5.
Yes, 5.
So that is what I want in this matter. Now, the presiding judge overruled him and then went ahead to give a ruling. And the ruling was for the fact that the learned SNN, for refusing to move his application, he described that as, you know, not wanting to diligently prosecute his matter. And for that, he struck out that submission, that request, oral request for adjournment. That issue was not touched. None of the application was moved. And then the fine, it was 2 million.
2 million.
2 million each. And you know there are 16 files times three.
Mm.
So you have 36. You multiply 2 by 36. It gives you 98. Forget about what is being going on in social media, 128. So that is the true position of things. So that matter was not heard. And as I speak to you, I want to believe that already there is a notice of appeal at both the Registry of Court of Appeal and at the Supreme Court. So I want to believe that matter has already been appealed. So you can see that it is still on. So you bring it down. You find out that with all this litigation, there is no how the Speaker will sway in the other 16 members.
Okay.
And that is just it. So not, that matter was not moved. Not, nothing was dismissed. It was strike out. And you know, when a matter is strike out, you can release it again. You can
revisit the matter.
That matter can be
revisited. Okay, so can't all this process be done, you know, while all this, while the APC lawmakers who were actually declared winners by the Court of Appeal, you know, have their seats in the House of Assembly and continue, you know, sitting regularly with the remaining eight who are legitimately, you know, in the House. Can this be done through and while the court processes are on?
Well, that question, I think it is only the Speaker that can answer it. If he has any reason to sway them on while the court cases continue, it is his reason. If he doesn't, it is also his reason. But I know whatever reason he may have is based on the law. But what I want to say here is that, like I said, democracy is all about the people.
True.
It is expected that you would have seen the people fighting for the APC members.
Mm-hmm.
You would have seen the constituents coming out to protest, to raise their voice, to express their dissatisfaction that their constituents have been for quite some time without the representatives.
Mm.
They would have come out, you know, to continue to roll out there are myriads of problems facing the constituency on account of lack of representation.
Yes.
But that is not being done. Why? It's because these people were not elected. And that is one lesson we need to learn from it again. Why is it that it is the 16 APC members that are the ones fighting? Ordinarily, if you see what happened when Mutfan was still pursuing his case, you could see almost on a daily basis people coming out, you know, to register their support to him because they elected him. But here you have people through, you know, an act of judicial rascality, you know, they found the same having certificate of return, which they ought not to have in the first place. And it is the reason why you see them fighting for themselves instead of the people fighting for them. Who are they representing?
All right.
No, that is it. Who are they representing? And you remember the other time when the House of Assembly, when they resumed session in February this mm-hmm. year, you know, they also had this intention of going to be sworn in when the other PDP 16 members were also there at the House of Assembly. The constituents were also there. They said, okay, you have your certificate given to you by the Court of Appeal. Make sure you also come with the votes you obtain at the polling units.
Hmm.
While you go in with the certificate, we, even before you go in at the gate, show us the votes you scored at your various
polling units.
Constituencies.
All right.
So that is it.
Okay, now I think you can be a part of the conversation by calling in or, you know, sending your comments on our Facebook page, also on our Twitter page. You know, commenting will surely go well with us, you know, but let's be learned and be civil in our opinions, okay? And not, just to let you know also that the calls and opinions of individuals are solely properties of the individuals and not properties of, you know, GFM 101.9 Just City. For you to be a part of the program, the numbers to call are 0812-187-7777 or you call 0905-566-6699. Do also be part of the conversation as we discuss more and more. I think we have a call coming in now. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My brother Richard is a Jude Saf for Inti Joshua.
Right, Jude Saf.
The guest in the house has spoken very, very well.
Mm.
And let me tell you, yes, my mind and millions of Platinians. You understand? He's in the right track. You understand?
Yes.
Court APC court, that's what I call this judgment. I'm telling you, because let me tell you, Richard, people are not happy. The way the judgment court of appeal rule on this lawmaker of Plateau and even from federal mover of anger and Marco and whatever, you understand?
Yes.
People are not happy, I'm telling you. People are not happy because people really come out and vote for these people. How will you just do court or some people that is suited and just remove people just like that? I'm telling you, it's very, very unfortunate. It's a daylight robbery and people are not happy. And what I'm just saying, let me just tell you, say this in our air. People are not happy the way APC rules Plateau State. I'm telling you, and Richard,
yes,
go and write today's date. Go and write today's date. APC can never come back to power in Plateau State again.
Wow.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, that's your thoughts quickly. Let's take other calls and hear from other persons. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from Chichi and Chi Junction.
Good to hear from you, Sadiq Umar. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I will commend your guest. He has spoken very, very well.
Right.
And it is very, very unfortunate what is happening in the House of Assembly, especially in this hardship that Plateauians are facing. But you see, politically, when we look at what happened in the House of Assembly, I think APC have done a very, very shameful thing. Because what have happened, if the court have already removed those House of Assembly, and the limit of that court is just limited in the appeal court, and again, the apex court is the highest court, they have now confirmed the structure of the PDP, which if the House of Assembly member have the opportunity to go there, they will rule it in their favor. So you see, that is to tell you that there is something that is supposed to be reviewed in this our constitution. So they are the one that making this thing to be very, very complicated. But you see, those people that have been given by the court, they should be very, very patient. First of all, they should know that the people have not voted them. This is a democratic issue. And if they say they will force themselves, I think the people will come out to fight them back. So that's why we are calling on the people. They should know this is not a Caleb Mutfam issue, because this is the speaker issue. And the speaker is neither of the PDP or
the APC.
So you see, that to tell you that the speaker, on his wisdom, he should make a decision. If he think that he will make the APCs to be there, it's okay. If he think that he will follow what the court have said, it's okay. But my advice to the people of the APC, they should leave peace to reign in Plateau State. They should leave Barista Caleb Mutfam to do his work. If they are bringing tension to Plateau State, Plateauians will never forgive them. And Plateauians are marking any person that is bringing a problem in this development that we have in this present administration. So all we need is peace. And we are calling on the court also to be very, very clear on this issue. They should, if the certificate of return are not given to the people, they should be patient. If the certificate of return has been given to them by the INEC. So it's very, very unfortunate. Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right. Thank you for your call there. That's Sadiq Umar. Let's take more calls and hear from more persons. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
It's Radio Mama.
Radio Mama, welcome.
Oh, no, I'm calling from
Nigeria. Okay.
Richard, I said it the obvious time. It's unfortunate the way that judgment went. It's a miscarriage of judgment. But then, yeah, when it comes to judicial issues, it's not a question of wishes. You know, if wishes were horses, beggars were right. It's really unfortunate the way it went. I must tell you that I doubt very much if anything will come out of this, considering the kind of democracy we are practicing. It is an advanced country. It will not go that way, provided that the Supreme Court made that pronouncement when it was judging that alternative. But the way I own it, it's time bound and all whatnot. I would say, what I would even want them to do is now to direct their attention, to spend their energy in trying to find, you know, find those judges that did whatever they did, you know. That is a case against them, so they can be punished. So it will serve as a deterrent. That's it. But I've been following everything by the legal luminaries, and it's really unfortunate the way it is. So, let Plateauians not take laws into their hands. It's not a question of going there, stopping this or that. But I'm appealing to the powers that be to speed up the judiciary, whichever way it goes. Let it be settled, you know, and let us finish that issue. And then the speaker, I even pity that speaker. Even no matter which way it goes, I doubt very much if that speaker can survive it, considering the kind of thing we have in Nigeria. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I doubt it. It's the grace of God that we keep that speaker, no matter whichever way it goes, because it's from the minority party.
All right.
So the body is small on him even.
All right, thank you so much, Radio Mama, for your opinion there. Quickly, let's take Mark House. Hello, good morning. Yeah, good morning to you.
There's something that I forgot to comment, that information I'm supposed to give.
All right.
Let me tell you something. Do you know what these APC lawmakers are planning to do?
No.
Some of them, I have encounter with some of them. They say that even if Caleb survived the Supreme Court, they will remove him. You understand?
But is this information the first-hand one? Are you certain with what you say?
I'm telling you before God and man.
Okay.
You know, I cannot just come on air and make comment that we have. Some of them, I'm very, very close with them. I'm telling you that if Kali survived in Supreme Court, immediately the idea, they will look one way or the other to remove him from office. I'm telling you before God and man. Some of their lawmakers, that was their plan. And by the grace of God, they can never achieve their plan. Good morning, once again.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for that one. Yutav, who came back. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Yutav.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name and your location.
This is Didan calling from the old jungle, a.k.a. Pura.
Right, Didan. Welcome.
Yes. I'm greeting the guests in the house. You are spoken very, very well.
Good morning.
Mr. Richard,
yes.
See that question that you asked the case in the house, that can he swear in the 16 lawmakers while
the court processes are still on?
I think to me, he cannot swear them in because both of them, they have their own certificate of return.
Okay.
That's to me, that's my own personal opinion. So I think what he did is the right thing, and the speaker is on the right track. He don't want to put the state in one quagmire like this. So what he said is the right thing. We should just wait for the court ruling so that we should know who turned in or who not in. So I think he should leave all this matter of swearing in till they finish all the court
processes.
So that's my take.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice
day. You too.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. I think people are still giving in their opinions. Hello. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. All right. I think the network, we're having some network glitch there. Let's take this one. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Welcome. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, my name is Felix. I'm calling from Jebu Miango.
Right. Quickly, let's hear from you, Philippe. Your thoughts.
All right. It is unfortunate that we are existing on the grounds of immaculate deception in this country. Judicial immaculate deception, political immaculate deception, economic immaculate deception, religious immaculate deception, even tribal immaculate deception. They say the Supreme Court said appeal courts don't have jurisdiction over that matter of pre-election. And then the 16 of them are still fighting, like you said. When INEC announced result, did they announce APC people? Were they not counting? Why the people in their constituency not coming out to protest? Why are we existing on judicial immaculate deception? And we sometimes describe it as judicial rascality. No, it is judicial immaculate deception. You know you don't have a jurisdiction to try a matter. And you go ahead to try the matter, and the Supreme Court came out. By now, those appeal court judges should be facing the National Judicial Council. to them that if he survives Supreme Court, he will not survive impeachment. So you can see why they are fighting. If the people in their constituency are not coming out, they say, okay, we voted for you for the peace of Plateau's sake. For the peace of Plateau's sake. There is nothing that cannot be forgotten. Even life is living on forgotten.
Yes.
As a matter of life, there is nothing that is permanent in this life. So many of the world powers and empires, they have collapsed. So if they want Plateau to move forward, please, they should withdraw their sword.
All right.
After all, it is our state.
Thank you so much, Philippe, for...
Before the political parties.
Yes, that's
we
true.
We have a state before the political parties.
That's true.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Philippe. I think Philippe is saying he will put the state first before political parties, before every personal interest. Let's get back to the phone lines. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Tell us your name, please, and where you're calling from.
This is Solomon Atang. I'm calling from Jude.
All right, Solomon.
I want to contribute really on this issue.
Okay.
You see, the governor is for the all parties. The governor is not for only one party.
That's
it's
true.
For the all parties. And I want our people to know that if you see two people coming to you, maybe one is an angel, one is a Lucifer, you will not even know who is Lucifer and who is an angel. That Lucifer, you think that it will lead you to hell, it will be the one to lead you to heaven. That angel that you think that is an angel in your cabinet, that angel will lead you to hellfire.
Wow, this is parable.
So, who knows his wisdom and work with these people? No fear, no thinking that these people will come to impeach him. He is not to fear anybody. You have to embrace them and work together with them. That is what I really want the governor of Plateau State to really work on it. You have to work with everybody. All those people that used to come with him, that they are angels, that they trustworthy people that in his cabinet, they are the ones who wanted to make him fall. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Solomon. I think that is your own opinion, too. Well, we have more calls here. Hello, good morning.
Hello, very good morning.
Good morning to you. Please tell your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you very much. This is the voice of Solomon.
All right. Comrade, your voice is kind of down. Oh, this is very unusual of you.
Yes, of course. Badu, let me just tell you this. Plateau State has suffered some setbacks in terms of peace.
Yes.
For those who are doing for us, the Plateau, I want to urge them to calm down and let us experience peace, please. We will not release from the attacks here and there, feelings here and there. And you see, I keep saying this thing again. You know, this is a purely man-led problem. You understand that? So, whatever it is, we are not a lawless state. And the issue of the State House of Assembly, I think, should be tackled legislatively. There is nothing to do with the government. But if they go out of law, then the government will intervene. Because the government will not fall in line if the state is going astray. So I think we have a working government. The government is working. Two ideas are not up to experiences. Please, these people know that they were not voted. That two people know that they were voted. They voted for them to serve them. Why are they forcing themselves on people? It should work according to the law. Let them wait. As far as the law is reflected, see what is going to happen. They should not force themselves on people because there are very many electorates who are very, very literate. They cannot force their arm. They should know that. And by forcing their very to people, it will cause another chaos again. Of which that is what some of us are really aware of. We want to experience on the planet. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your own opinion there. All right, I think that's the good one that we get back to the studio and we discuss more. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Richard.
Good morning to you. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Benedict Collinson.
All right, Benedict, the floor is yours.
Naomi is not in the studio this morning.
Yeah, she's under the weather. Just pray for a quick recovery.
Yeah, the weather will come under her.
Amen.
She will later rise against her and lift
her. Amen. Amen.
She's going to lift her and move the weather.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, she cannot continue being under the weather.
Yes.
I want to also appreciate your guest of being a Democrat for actually saying the truth concerning our dear Plateau on the democracy. You know, we are looking up to on the Plateau. You see, one of the callers said something, and he reminded Nigerians and me myself that the Supreme Court actually said that the Court of Appeal had in their judgment in that they are not supposed to entertain pre-election matters. I don't know if I had him. I don't know if I quoted this that caller.
Yeah, I think I mentioned something like that too.
Actually, that is the issue.
Mm.
If that is the issue, the APC lawmakers that want to go to the assembly secretly, like Nicodemus at night, I think they are not Democrats. They are not actually Democrats, if you ask me. Because democracy is all about the people. Now, if you are actually going to stand your mandate on the pronouncement of the Court of Appeal, what happens to the masses that actually come out to vote? People that rejected you and rejected your party. How can you force yourself on the people? It is actually unconstitutional. And I want to say this categorically, that the PDP on the platform have suffered a lot of injustice, a lot of molestation. People win election in a landslide. People win election on the hallmark. People win election in a very, very wide margin.
Mm.
Only for you to go to the court, say that you don't have a structure. What kind of structure are they looking for? The Supreme Court, the highest court of the land, have actually come to say they are not going to even entertain this particular matter. So the governor should go back. And so I think that the Court of Appeal should be even be held responsible if anything should happen on the plateau. I want to say this simply because I don't see anything that warrants you to, like, as this particular group has been elected by the people. And now you can even see it, that it is not even the lawmakers from the PDP that are actually going to keep vigil in the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that voted and they have come out to say, our mandate is not going to lose. We are not going to allow people who not vote to come back and be presiding for us. And I think people are defending their vote. People are defending their mandate. And I personally don't want that particular thing to happen because it is actually, unconstitutional and a chaotic situation. It's actually wrong. But then, I am telling you that the Court of Appeal should be held responsible if anything should happen because the people that voted, the people they voted, and if you are coming to or three people coming to decide the fate of over 4 million people, it is unacceptable and the people are going to resist it and continue resisting it. This is my take. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for your take there. All right, let's take some few messages, then we get back to the studio to discuss. Felkuka Factors Go On just, dropped a message here on our Facebook page. He said the speaker, Right Honorable Dewan Kundegbenia Gabriel, might be right and wrong, but best on the understanding of the two parties. The peaceful resolution is the only sure way. Love, Jeff, and thank you so much. We have Dimas Bala saying, frankly speaking, let the speaker swear in the 16 lawmakers who won their cases at the appeal court, even though it's not the choice of the majority, but court has decided already. It was an unfortunate judgment, but let there be stability in the state's house. While we have Izang Atsi saying, good morning, let's talk. Absolutely, this is time for us Plateauians to stay calm and maintain peace. Let us not allow what's happened in 2021 in the State Assembly to repeat itself. Please, it's time for governance, not now, not a time for party clashes. May BCM succeed. Love you guys. God bless GFM and my favorite radio station. Thank you so much for making us that. Well, Calvin Louis said, since there is no polling unit in the courtroom, so the mayor shenanigan by the appeal court that makes them to be sacked, to sack the PDP lawmakers due to lack of structures and is inappropriate and also judicial rascality. Therefore, the judges at the Supreme Court should call the appeal court to order to reinstate all the sacked PDP lawmakers back to their position. And I think this should be the last one for now. We'll surely get back to that one. The governor and the speaker knows what they are doing, but the question is who is representing the various constituencies that are affected? Who is approving the activities of the executives now? And who is doing the oversight functions of the state legislators? All what is happening is for selfish reason, not for the interest of Plateau Man. The speaker should do the right thing, according to court. It's coming from Izang Joshua. Now we've heard, reactions from some people, some persons, and of course we've read comments also from some persons. Now, I think I'll go with the last comments that actually ask some vital questions. As it stands, who is representing the various constituencies that are affected? And also, who is approving the activities of the executives at the moment? How did the executive get their approval? Checks and balances, how do they go down? Oversight functions, how do you expect them to go down? In your own wisdom, how do you think the 8 members who have been playing around all these functions?
Well, first and foremost, let me, at the beginning of this program, my opening statement, was that in all this, it is the constituents that are suffering.
Yes.
You talk of the issue of oversight. You talk of issue of check and balances and all this lacking. So unfortunately or fortunately, so to say, since we've not heard of any key decision that requires, you know, the scrutiny of the House of Assembly, you know, that has been taken, you know, without, you know, the without going through the House of Assembly, I don't, there is nothing we can say, you know, about that. I know that the key issues that require the attention that ought to go through the House of Assembly, and most of them we are done, especially the issue of budget, you know, the issue of approval of appointees and all sort of. So for now, I don't think the governor has taken a decision or an action that ought to have gone through the House of Assembly. So we wait until that is done. Now, what I want to say here generally is that if you consider the comment made by the people, majority of them, you know, they are not happy. They are not happy in the sense that the Court of Appeal fell in its own responsibility and decided to engage in judicial rascality, which saw the emergence of people that can be described as an imposition, which has defeated the essence of democracy itself. And I want to say that it is very, very, very unfortunate because Plateau State has never suffered since the advent of this democratic dispensation like it has this very time.
At this moment.
At this moment. Where you have, for the very first time, you have a lot of people coming out to participate in a process, which is also another way of deepening democracy, mass participation. Only for a three-man panel to sit down and upturn that decision, it is very, 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 very painful.
Decisions of millions of people.
Decision of millions of people.
Richard, overturned by us three people.
How does it feel? And this will also lead me to the second point I want to make. That you have somebody who is comfortably sitting at the National Assembly who calls himself a senator, that won only one local government out of six and is comfortable in the National Assembly. What will you say of a person who is sitting at the lower chambers in the National Assembly House of Representatives? Out of 32 federal wards, he won in only one. And now he's seated comfortably at the lower chambers of the National, courtesy the Court of Appeal. How does it feel? And what do you think is going on right in the minds of the constituents who went out to elect people of their choice and their choice was upturned? What will you say of a person that won, leading with a margin of 65,000 votes? Only for that to be upturned and given to somebody who scored only 20-something thousand. What will you say about that one?
All right.
So that is the problem. So what am I right trying to? Let me just round up.
Okay.
Look, all is said and done. Somebody in this, the comments that we've taken, somebody made a comment. Maybe you did not get that. You talk of issue of morality.
Yes.
If we are people of high moral, the 16 APC House of Assembly members by now should have given up after the Supreme Court judgment. If at all these people have conscience, if they have moral, if they have morality, if it is, if their conscience is still alive, they shouldn't have been, you know, wanting to break into the House of Assembly to swear in themselves.
But some people actually want to argue with you that who has seen that the CTC of the Supreme Court, probably by up till now, has not reached the hands of some individuals or the lawyers, you know, before. Now, remember, prior to the elections, the run elections that actually went down, the leader of the APC, that's Barrister Simon Bakola Long, who served as the governor of the state for 8 years before this administration, came out and asked the question, who has seen the CTC of the Supreme Court? No one actually responded positively then. Now, who has seen the CTC of the Appeal Court? And many people came out to say, yes, they actually have the CTC of the Appeal Court judgment. It means in the Appeal Court judgment, probably there's something we don't really know. Or in the Supreme Court judgment, there are things we don't know. Judgment might be passed through words alone, or affirmation of words. But of course, the content of the judgment is something we've not been able to lay our hands on. Do you actually agree with that?
You do. You want us to speculate here? Anyway, I have not seen the CTC.
Okay.
But for me, somebody that has been following judicial
process,
I think it will be out of place for anybody to say that the judgment that was passed almost 2 months ago, the CTC, is not out yet. And I think it is the responsibility of we, the media, I know, to probe into that.
Yes.
Of course, we have the lawyers representing both parties available. And so we should try as much as possible to reach out to them. But I tell you, it is not possible.
All right, let's talk about what Timothy Golu said, when he got to know about this issue. Don't forget the special advice out to the governor on strategic planning or strategic communication while reacting to development. He said the unfortunate incident was a shock to the government, considering the fact that the State House of Assembly had shifted its sitting away from the complex down to the old government house, because the premises were under renovation. Now, Golu said the Speaker of the House, Dewan, was handicapped in swearing in the 16 lawmakers because of two court injunctions restraining him, adding that as a law-abiding citizen, he has no choice but to restrain himself until the termination of the suit. It means he has two different court injunctions. One might be telling him, swear in these people, and the other might be telling him, don't swear them in at the same time. And now, at this point, he seems to be the man in the middle. Will he be affected at the end of the day?
No, I doubt. Is there any court that, has, ordered the speaker to swear them in?
No.
I'm not aware of that. I'm also not aware of a court order,
restraining him from doing that.
I think there are court processes. And without even telling you, once a matter is in court, even without an order, you maintain status quo.
Yes.
And I believe that is the position of the speaker. Once a matter is in court, you maintain status quo, even without an order. And that is what he is doing. And we keep on saying, you see, look, two wrongs do not make a right.
True.
For the fact that you've been refused, to sworn in does not guarantee you, the leverage or the whatever to go into illegality. I mean, they are supposed to be honorable members. And their act yesterday was, if anything, unhonorable. And I said it earlier that it is the height of irresponsibility. It is the height of rascality, just like it was exhibited by the Court of Appeal. So should we continue with this kind of rascality?
All right. This is actually one of the major concerns we've been talking about today. The issue that went down at the House of Assembly yesterday, where the two political parties were on loggerheads. The supporters of the two political parties were on loggerheads. Now, it's been confirmed that sittings have been moved away from the House of Assembly due to renovations down to the old government house. But before you go, let me hear your final word.
Well, frankly speaking, democracy is all about the people.
Yes.
We have institutions that ought to work in a manner that will help strengthening democracy. One of them is the judiciary. And from what has happened, my call is to the judiciary that they need to live up to expectation to ensure that democracy is deepened. We've seen the reforms that have taken place, culminating to the 2022 Electoral Act, which has to do away with certain elements in the Electoral Act.
Yes.
And all these things were, for instance, Federal High Court, the only court with jurisdiction to entertain pre-election matters, removing now used to be known as the fourth ground upon which an outcome of an election can be challenged, which is unlawful exclusion. That one was also removed in the 2022 reforms. All these things were done in order to ensure that technicalities is being removed. And when you go to court to challenge, to the tribunal to challenge the outcome of an election, you will center it on the votes themselves. Proof to the court that indeed the person did not score the lawful vote cast at that election.
And not pre-election or post-election matters.
No, the post-election or pre, and not post or pre-election matter. Yes. No, the post-election matter can come because if you are able to prove that the person forged his certificate,
yes,
it is no longer a pre-election matter, right, because it is a crime against the state. And that is what makes it a pre-election matter.
All right, Finger, many thanks for joining the show this morning. Mr. Joseph Adudu, a veteran with us. Of course, he has been, from his analysis, you could actually know that it's someone who has actually stayed with the assembly for a very long time. And of course, he has been able to tell some of the nooks and crannies of this very matter. Thank you so much for joining on the show this morning.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you, listener. Good morning.
All right. He came with his friend. Of course, I just to say good morning to you also. And of course, this is the size of the program this morning. Do well to make sure you listen to JFM 101.9 Just City. And of course, the wrap for Morning J. Coming up next, just on the flip side of 10 o'clock, will be the news. Don't go anywhere. I remain myself, Richard Badung. Let's do it again tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.